Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we're going to be talking about different meanings of love. And so please feel free to participate or just to listen. And let me welcome my co-host, Kat. Kat, how are you today?
I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. Yeah, it's a beautiful day here. Even though we're a couple weeks into fall, the weather is very summer-like today, and it's going to continue that way this week. So it's been an unusually warm September and October, and it's delightful. Not the extreme heat that we experienced this summer, but just summery weather. So, what's the weather like where you are?
Well, I've woken up to it raining, having rained all night, and it's overcast, and it's beginning to warm up. So we're coming into spring. We're in the last month of spring. So it's starting to warm up.
Nice. I love it when it does that, speaking of love. Well, I thought I would just start off by sharing definitions of love, which a lot of people will come to think immediately about the kind of love that we have for one another, which is a strong affection arising out of kinship or personal ties, or the kind of romantic love that many people think of. But there are many other kinds of love, too. There's affection based on admiration or common interests. There's that assurance of affection. There's love of things like enthusiasm or devotion. For me, I get very enthusiastic when I think about the ocean, when I think about being one with nature. That fills me with a feeling of love. And, also it could be a beloved person. It's often a term of endearment. And let's see, what else? This comes from Merriam-Webster's dictionary definition. There are all these different things that they talk about. Concern for others, adoration of God for those who believe in God, amorous episodes like a love affair, sexual embrace. I guess that's about it. That's what Merriam-Webster has to say. That's the noun form, and the verb form, I'm not going to get into that. That's just a little bit too much. But I'm gratified to see that we have several people joining us today. We have Regina from Albany, New York. And we have Bhavana Chawla from Hawaii. Aloha, Bhavana. And we'll get both of them on the line at a later point in time to talk about the subject. And I originally named this show The Languages of Love. I just, I love that definition. So let me turn it over to Kat. Kat, what would you like to say about love or the different kinds of love or meanings of love?
Love, I think it's a beautiful topic, but then it's so also unique to humans and animals on this planet. We don't know if there's love on any other planet. We have suspicions of people who may have visited from other planets, but we don't have confirmation of their lives and their cultures and their experiences. So we can only say that we know that love exists here. Love's something worth fighting for. Love is something that is truth. It is the food of life. It brings stability, maturity, quietness, understanding. It does not detract. It only enhances. It allows the other space to be beautiful and encourages the beauty in another. I think from my own experience, when I started to become more open to love in my life, I started to see the beauty in other people. And because I started to see more and more of the beauty in other people, I started to become aware of the feelings that people are taught by the mass media, that if you love, you must have to possess, or there must be certain rules and restrictions around the other person. Now you've declared your love or object or thing, that you should have love for certain objects or certain aspects of society, and if you don't, then you can be an outcast. So things like that. When you start to go into love just simply for the sake of love and not to please others, all of those things break away and you begin to realize there is so much beauty in everyone, and somebody who is the most unfortunate face can still appear to be very, very beautiful to you. And you start to see the light that shines in the three eyes, in the triangle, the trine, because you start to see the beauty of the deepest love within them, which is their soul radiating out through their three eyes. And you start to connect to that, and then that's when you start to realize that you are deeply connected to love through seeing love everywhere and then realizing that love is seeing you back. That makes sense?
It does. It does. And as you were talking, I was thinking about unconditional love. You talked about how it love comes, true love comes not out of people pleasing, but so many of us confuse love that's based on conditions or that's based on trying to please others. And that is, I believe, a misnomer, because to me the greatest form of love is without any conditions, without any particular attachments. It just is free for the asking, and there are no conditions attached to it. And I also was thinking about how love to me, I believe, and it's my opinion, that it is the greatest feeling that we can have, which attracts so many other positive types of feelings like gratitude and joy. And it's the opposite of fear. It just comes from the heart and the soul. And it is a beautifully healing emotion, and it makes you feel good. It makes me feel good, and so those are just a couple of other things that I wanted to say.
Yeah, living in love and not living in fear is so important, especially these days. To choose to live in love means that you're choosing to love life in all its facets and all its expressions. And it doesn't mean you don't protect yourself or be forewarned or any of those other things that happen. But you certainly are then able to read the landscape better because you're in connection. When you're in fear, you're disconnected and you're alone. But you're, you know, misery likes company, so a lot of other people are in fear as well, but they're not connected to each other, only by fear. But as we've seen, especially in my country at the moment, people will turn on each other over a concept that somebody else has put in their minds. So they're united in fear, but they're not ununited towards each other. It's a rabble. So the only answer is to embrace and to love. That's how we get through, and that's how we change, and it's how we mature.
You were talking about...
I've got a list of different types of love.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, what were you going to say? I was talking about something.
There was something you said that triggered this sense that acceptance is a part of love from the standpoint that everything, whether it feels good or not in life, is for our benefit if we choose to see it that way. And so if it's all good, then I love whatever experiences come my way in retrospect. I mean, there's a silver lining to every dark cloud. And so I really need to embrace all of my life and cherish my life. And that includes those painful experiences that come from a place of separation where I'm not aware that ultimately everything that happens is for my good, that I have the opportunity to make a decision at every step of the way and learn from everything and embrace everything as good, even when it doesn't feel that way. Does that make any sense?
Yes. So, you know, if you're having a crappy experience, say you've got a friend who's a bit of a narcissistic person and that's causing you a lot of problems. This is a common problem. I've certainly had it in my past. And you have to move forward, but how, when you've got this person who's causing you problems? You love the fact that the person has given you the gift of learning, and you love that there is good around you, and you love that good is attracted to you, and you love that you can see good and feel good and know good, because good is love. And so in that way, you start to be able to see the way out of the conundrum because you can see the opportunities. Whereas before, if you were in fear and you turned your back on all good and sat there crying, you would not see any opportunities coming your way to get out of the situation. So sometimes you've got to stick it out, and your gut tells you so, or you just know it. But you're still in that place where you're connected. I think that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yes, essentially it is, and you've helped clarify that a bit. I talked to Regina a little bit before the show, and there was something she was thinking of that she'd like to share, and she was searching for it. It was something that she wanted to read, and I'd like to go to her and see if she found that, and also see what she would like to share, and then I will go to Bhavana, who I'm so grateful to have called in today. Hi, Regina.
Hi, David. Hi, Kat. Hi, Bhavana.
Hi, Regina.
Hello. I did find what I was looking for. It was a little something I had posted on Facebook, and I thought it was so sweet. And if you'll just give me a minute, I'll read it to you, if it's okay. A group of professional people posed this question to a group of 4 to 8-year-olds. What does love mean? The answers they got were broader, deeper, and more profound than anyone could have imagined. And Rebecca, aged 8, said, "When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too." And then Billy, age 4, said, "When somebody loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth." And Carl, age 5, said, "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and smell each other." And Chrissy, age 6, said, "Love is when you go out and give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs." Yeah. And Terry, age 4, said, "Love is what makes you smile when you're tired." And Danny, age 8, said, "Love is when mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure it tastes okay." And Bobby, age 7, said, "Love is what is in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and just listen." And Nika, age 6, said, "If you want to learn to love better, you should start with a friend that you hate." Yes. And Noel, age 7, said, "Love is when you tell a guy you like his shirt, and then he wears it every day." And Tommy, age 6, said, "Love is like a little old woman and a little old man who are still friends even after they know each other so well." And Cindy, age 8, said, "During my piano recital, I was on the stage and I was scared. I looked at all the people watching me and I saw my daddy waving and smiling. He was the only one doing that. I wasn't scared anymore." And Claire, age 6, said, "My mommy loves me more than anybody. You don't see anyone else kissing me to sleep at night." And Elaine, age 5, said, "Love is when mommy gives daddy the best piece of chicken." And Chris, age 7, said, "Love is when mommy sees daddy smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Robert Redford." And Mary Ann, age 4, said, "Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you left him alone all day." And Lauren, age 4, says, "I know my older sister loves me because she gives me all her old clothes and has to go out and buy new ones." And Karen, age 7, says, "When you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you." And Mark, age 6, said, "Love is when mommy sees daddy on the toilet and she doesn't think it's gross." And you really, and Jessica, age 8, says, "You really shouldn't say I love you unless you mean it. But if you mean it, You should say it a lot. And
like that.
Yeah. And one final one. The winner was our 4-year-old child whose next-door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who had recently lost his wife. Upon seeing the man cried, the little boy went into the old gentleman's yard, climbed up into his lap, and sat there. When his mother asked what he had to say to the neighbor, the little boy said, "Nothing. I was just helping him cry." And so that, I like that very much from children's mouth, you know, from what they're seeing in the world. And to me, when I think of love, I think number one of Gerald Zimpowski's book, Love is Letting Go of Fear, yes, 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 based on The Course in Miracles. And then I think of the Shekinah, the dark matter, the basis of the universe. They haven't discovered what dark matter is yet, but I truly think it's love. And that's where all creation comes from. And when you talk about the communion of saints and that kind of thing, to me, it's where the loving souls go when they leave this plane into the Shekinah, into the dark mother, full of love and warmth and creativity and everything that's luscious and nurturing and all good and all beautiful and terrifying to boot. I think that's what I have to say about love today. And we could all use a whole lot more of it.
We sure could. You know, as the saying goes, love is what makes the world go round. And a lot of times it doesn't feel like it's moving in that direction. But when push comes to shove, that love always seems to win in the end. And that's the beauty of the benevolence of the universe or our higher power, however you want to see it.
Yes.
And, so let me go to Bhavana and see what she has to say. And I'm gratified that there's a caller from area code 509 that called in. And if you feel comfortable, I would come to you later just to see what your name is. And if you have anything you'd like to share on the subject, you'd be welcome. So if you don't want to say anything, that's fine too. Let me go to Bhavana and see what she has to say. Hi, Bhavana.
Hi, aloha, everybody, and it's
aloha.
Great to be with you again. Yeah, we were just together on the radio Friday, and I think this is a great topic, and of course, it's very essential in this time of the planet. Yes, there is a lot of fear, and people connect over fear, but then, of course, on the flip side, there's so much love that's available to us. And when I think of love, I also think of forgiveness. I think of people in my life who have treated me really well and then have treated me not so well at the same time. And I just go remember their heart, and I remember when they did come from that pure place of love. And I just focus on that, you know, because I don't want to get caught up in the bitterness of, you know, other memories and other behavior. I also feel like this is a time to connect with the love that's not only around from people but from nature. You know, I live in a place of abundant nature, but I think anyone, wherever they are, even if they're in an urban environment, you know, they could put a house plant in their house, get some beautiful flowers, you know, put them in a vase and remind them of bring the nature, you know, in their homes. And you know, just all the birds, you know, in the morning I listen to the songbirds, and then, you know, there's crickets at night and there's breeze through the trees. And It's just like nature saying, hello, I love you. And the sun comes every day and shines on us. Even on cloudy days, you know, it's still there. It's still kind of going through those clouds. And how much support we have from nature and, of course, from our pets as well. How, you know, I have two cats and they're always waiting for me. I was gone a long day yesterday, just out with friends doing different things, and I came back and there's my little cat, you know, meowing at me when I walk in the door, you know, where have you been? And so, yeah, and I think, you know, if you're having a hard time with relationships and if things are strained, just, you know, close your eyes and remember, like I said earlier, the love that you shared between each other, you know, and ask that love to increase its power, you know, ask it to heal what needs to be healed. So,
you know, when you talked about forgiveness, it made me think of the Ho'oponopono prayer, and I imagine you are knowledgeable about that.
Yeah, actually, I learned it from a woman in California, and she learned it in Hawaii and sort of brought it to the West. There's a powerful story of a man, a Hawaiian man, who was working at a psychiatric hospital. I forget where exactly. I think it was somewhere on the islands, and he didn't want to see a single patient. He said, I just would like to see their case files. He read through the case files, and he did the whole Ho'oponopono, the forgiveness. I'm sorry, I love you, I forgive you, and there's a lot more to it. But essentially, he did that, and every single patient, they healed. They had to shut the hospital down because nobody was left in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. So, yeah, you know, there's that. Mm-hmm. And I think I do that. I do it periodically, you know. I do the whole Ho'oponopono and I cut cords so that I can keep my heart clear.
Mm. Yeah, I love the way it ends with thank you and I love you. And you know, it seems it has four parts. The first part is repentance. Then there's the forgiveness piece, the gratitude piece, and the love piece. And it ends with love. And to me, love is the beginning and ending of all things. I'm glad that you brought up forgiveness. I think that's a very important piece of being able to reconcile oneself with another, however that other person or thing manifests. So thank you for sharing that. Is there anything else that you wanted to say, Bhavana?
Well, you're welcome. I just wanted to thank Regina for the beautiful words of these innocent children and something you said about the mother, going into the heart of the mother. And I have a couple friends whose mothers passed away lately, a dear friend of my mother, and then a dear friend of mine, his mother. And then, you know, at the same time, you know, around the time the one mother was passing away, a friend had a son down the street, and she wrote a poem about the cycle of life, about, you know, there's a space where souls are born and souls are departing. There's a universal sacrifice that occurs when souls leave and souls come, and talked about love and the love of mothers. And she didn't have any idea that when her son was being born, someone else in another part of, you know, the world was losing his mother, and just, you know, that cycle, and it all, you know, it's all a part of life and a part of love. You know, we don't ever really lose our loved ones physically, yes, but the love remains. And it's a time of the year, I was saying Friday, other cultures, you know, honor the bond they have with their ancestors. You know, as, yeah, so. That's all I wanted to say. Yeah, thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, and thank you for bringing up the notion of mother. Last Thursday was the 5th anniversary of my mother's passing. And, you know, when I think about mothers, they carry us for 9 months. And we have our first physical bond with them. And I believe it comes also from the heart, because love is a palpable emotion. And I'm sure that from the embryo stage right up through the end of the fetus's existence within the womb, that it feels the love of the mother toward the child. And then usually the first embrace that a baby feels is with the mother. So thank you for sharing that. And we did lose the other caller. A lot of people get shy when it comes time to possibly talk with us, and that's okay too. Perhaps they're still listening. But if there is anybody in the queue, if there's anybody that's not in the queue that wants to speak with us, all you have to do is press 1, and then you will come into the queue, and we'd love to have you share whatever is in your heart or mind regarding love. So let me return to Kat and see what reflection she might have based on the sharing that's been done.
Oh, well, I think that it's been so beautifully put. I didn't want to retract or expand on what the two beautiful women had to say, but I would like to read something by Khalil Gibran, who's one of my favorites. Prophets and poets from modern times. He's obviously passed away now, but if you look him up, if you haven't heard of him before, any listeners there, Khalil is K-A-H-L-I-L Gibran, G-I-B-R-A-N-E G-I-B-R-A-N. And he's got a book called The Prophet, and this is an extract from it. And it's an extract on love. Then said Almitra, speak to us of love. And he raised his head and looked upon the people, and there fell a stillness upon them. And with a great voice he said, when love beckons you, follow him, though his ways are hard and steep. And when his wings unfold, you yield to him, though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. And when he speaks to you, believe in him, though his voice may shatter your dreams as the north wind lays waste to the garden. For even as love crowns you, so shall he crucify you. Even as he is for your growth, he is for your pruning. Even as he ascends to your height and caresses your tenderest branches that quiver in the sun, so shall he descend to your roots and shake them in their clinging to the earth. Like sheaves of corn, he gathers you unto himself. He threshes you to make you naked. He sifts you to free you of your husks. He grinds you to whiteness. He kneads you until you are plain. And then he assigns you to his sacred fire, that you may become sacred bread for God's sacred feast. All these things shall love do unto you, that you may know the secrets of your heart, and in that knowledge become a fragment of life's heart. But if in your fear you would seek only love's peace and love's pleasure, then it is better for you that you cover your nakedness and pass out of love's threshing floor into the seasonless world, where you shall laugh, but not all of your laughter, and weep, but not all of your tears. Love gives naught but itself and takes naught but from itself. Love possesses not, nor would it be possessed, for love is sufficient unto love. When you love, you shall not say, God is in my heart, but rather, I am in the heart of God. And think, not you can direct the course of love, for love, if it finds you worthy, directs your course. Love has no desire but to fulfill itself. But if you love and must needs have desires, let these be your desires. To melt and be like a running brook that sings its melody to the night. To know the pain of too much tenderness. To be wounded by your own understanding of love. And to bleed willingly and joyfully. To wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another lit day of loving. To rest the noon hour and meditate love's ecstasy. To return home at eventide with gratitude. And then to sleep with a prayer for the beloved in your heart and a song of praise upon your lips. So that's what Khalil Gibran wrote. And what I think he's talking about is the self-sacrifice that comes with loving. You're talking about motherhood, that from the moment of conception, you are in self-sacrifice until you die. You give of yourself to that child. And your body is never the same afterwards. You go through massive hormonal changes. And then you have to put your own needs secondary to the baby. And then you work to make the money to care for the child. You clean up after the child at midnight, 3 a.m. when they've vomited. You are in absolute unconditional love and service to another who for a time is almost parasitic upon you. It needs you so much until slowly the child begins to remove itself from you and become independent, and then there's the pain of no longer needing to self-sacrifice because the child no longer needs you to. And so you can become codependent on that. So you have to find a balance. And this is the heart of nurturing. And so, but love also, as he says in the poem, it molds you and shapes you and breaks you down and builds you back up. Because it is a challenge. But if you remain in that state of I love my life and I see the basic good in all of things, I will remember to see the opportunities as they present themselves. And then love will show you the way through because you've got to a point where you can see what the love of your own life is, and then therefore you can see the love in the life all around you. So I think it's a journey. What do you think, David?
Oh, absolutely. It's a never-ending journey because it's not only something that we experience in this life throughout the course of our lifetime. Hopefully we experience it. But it comes to us from before and after through all the lives that we live, and that place of pure spirit, which is just pure love. I'm so glad you shared from the prophet. I remember a beloved aunt of mine gave me that book when I graduated from high school, and there was a reading from it that was read at my first wedding. It's very profound. It also made me think of two other books. One is a book by one of my favorite spiritual authors, Anthony DeMello, and it's his last book of meditations, which is called The Way to Love, as a matter of fact, and I wish I had it present, but it would be too long to read from. All of the meditations in it actually start with a piece from Scripture, of the Bible, but they don't have any religious overtones. In spite of that, they're all about different aspects of love. And then I believe it was Regina who talked about the Course in Miracles. There's also another course that a friend of mine advised me about, and I haven't taken it myself, but it's called A Course of Love. And I don't know if anybody that's on the panel today is familiar with that and could speak to that. And if not, I have just a little snippet here. Is anybody familiar with the Course in Love?
No. No.
No.
No.
Well, It says it's for troubled hearts what A Course in Miracles is for troubled minds. Revelation, comfort, and a call to transforming union. And the prophetic messages of our time are about the end of the rule of the thinking mind, the call for a new way of knowing. And she has been studying it for years. Her name is Trish, and she's contributed to the show before. I wish she was here today to speak to it. But it's just something that I wanted to call to people's attention that they might want to check into, and perhaps I will do that for myself. But is there anybody else here today that's moved to say anything else on love before we go into a closing meditation?
It's a lot of background noise. Sounds like a door opening and shutting.
I hear it too. I don't know where it's coming from. Maybe everybody, I'm going to mute everybody's microphone except for whoever's talking, but is there anybody, Bhavana or Regina, that would like to say anything else before I mute the microphones?
No, not me.
Okay. Bhavana?
I really loved the Khalil Gibran reading, and I was just looking at a friend's photo on Facebook. She gave me that book. She's a friend of my mother's, a dear friend of my mother's daughter. When we visited them in England when I was about 16 or 17, and I kept that book for a very long time, The Prophet. I just love him. He's a great, and so thanks for sharing that. And that's all I have to say for now.
Thank you, Bhavana. Kat, how about you?
I think we've come where we need to be talking about it. Love is a beautiful thing, but love is not afraid to stand up and teach us a lesson. Love can be hard, but if it's for our own good, then love will act. And if we stand in love while we're going through that, remember to continue to love, then we'll come out of it in a much better shape.
Thank you. Well, let's move into meditation. And I would ask you all to close your eyes if you're comfortable. And if not, look at some spot in the room or wherever you are that you can just focus upon to let go of the chatter of your mind and just begin to breathe deeply in through your nose and out through your mouth slowly. And if you would do that 3 times, then we will begin. And so now let your breath just return to its normal state. And imagine yourself in a place of darkness, but you're not afraid because you feel like you are in your mother's womb. And in fact, that's where you are. You're in a safe space where nothing can harm you and where all of your needs are taken care of. And you feel loved and nurtured, which is a familiar notion that you may or may not be aware of where it comes from. But you feel it. You feel love, safety, peace, comfort. Until one day you are thrust in pain out of the mother's womb and into the bright light of a new day. and a new experience. And you cry at first, and then you are placed on your mother's breast as she embraces you and looks at you with beautiful eyes that are radiating pure love and joy and gratitude. And at some level, you take this in, and you feel safe and comforted, and once again, you feel that love. And so as you grow, you begin to experience love in other forms. You may have a father in your life who hopefully is nurturing. Imagine that that's the case, even if that wasn't the case in your life. This male figure and this female figure, the primary principles in your life who protect you and love you and make you feel nurtured and attend to all of your needs. And so one day along comes a sibling. If you haven't had one, perhaps you've imagined what it would be like to have one. And mostly that's good. There are things that happen, rivalry, misunderstandings, hurt, but mostly it's love, companionship, comfort, sharing, all of those things and expressions of the heart that make you feel good. And one Christmas, you go down before the tree, and out comes a bounding puppy running for you, and you shout out with glee, shout out with joy. Here's this creature that you've always wanted, and it comes up to you and nuzzles you, and you hug it and hold it, and you feel another expression of love, a love for animals. And you're taken out to the park, you're taken to the beach by your parents, and you're in awe of the wonder of nature. And this is another kind of love that you develop. You're attracted to it. You're enhanced by the experience. And it is just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And it makes you feel one with all that is, even as it may make you feel small because of the wonder of the expansiveness of that aspect of the universe. But the underlying feeling is a sense of connection. It's a sense of attraction. It's a sense of affection. And it's a sense of wonder. And so one day you come to meet a boy or a girl and you feel a special bond with this person. You don't know why, but you're attracted to them. And you begin to date this person. And you come to experience new feelings, feelings that you never realized could exist. And these are feelings of romance, a new kind of love, a new kind of love. And one day you choose to become a committed couple, whether you marry or not. And you come, if you haven't already experienced, you come to know erotic love. And you embrace this new sensation that combines body, mind, and spirit, heart and soul, a sense of union, which is what love is all about. It unites us rather than divides us. And so you cherish, you are in another sense of wonder and immense gratitude, immense feelings that you never realized could exist. And then one day, the woman, if that's you, or the man, if that's you, becomes aware that there is a baby that is going to be born. And you go through this period of 9 months of nurturing and caring for and taking care of your body, taking care of your partner, your wife, and until that day when labor begins and the miracle of birth is about to happen. And so the mother goes into labor and goes through the excruciating experience of birth that ends with such great joy when the baby is handed to you and the father is standing by and embracing the mother and eventually comes to hold the child and you experience yet another form of love. And above it all, you find yourself in a place of wonder, gratitude, joy, and union. And so this is just the beginning of the adventure, the beginning of the journey, the never-ending journey that takes you from this life to the next and beyond. And so now, whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes or shift your focus and come back to the present moment with this immense feeling of gratitude, this immense feeling of joy, and this new recognition of what love may be to you today. And so I leave you with that. And one final thing, I'm going to ask Kat to tell us about the Facebook fan page.
Yes, join us on Facebook at The Healing Circle with David Clark and Kat Edwards. And we have the love of doing this for you, having our Facebook page. If you would like to have us discuss a topic, please send us a message. And we will talk about the topic that you have asked us to talk about, as long as it's within the confines of what we tend to discuss on the show, which is, of course, spirituality, healing, well-being, and conscious life. You can see past episodes posted on the page. Just scroll down, click an episode, and you'll be taken straight to the podcast. And please tell your friends, because we're doing this just because we like to. We're not getting paid. And we want to have a lot of other people listen so that we can get a lot more traction with our radio show. So please tell your friends. And, of course, if you want to join in on the radio show, you can click on the link and see the phone numbers, call in. You can also join in on the radio show by commenting in the thread below the link in the description, and I'll read that out live on the air. So please let us know what you want to talk about and tell your friends. Thank you.
Thank you, Kat. Absolutely. We want to hear from you, and I'm going to ask a personal favor of Bhavana and Regina. If you could think of one or two topics that you would like us to discuss on an upcoming show and just send me an email or Facebook message, I would be most grateful. And then we will incorporate those suggestions into future shows, and perhaps we'll have one for next week. And I don't have anything else to say today. Do you, Kat?
No, other than have a wonderful day or a wonderful evening, depending on where you are in the world, and thank you so much for tuning in.
Yes, thank you all, and I wish everybody a good day and a good evening. And with that said, goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now.